Fast Mai, good evening. Welcome along to Friday Sport Preview. If you didn't hear the sports section in Mandate at 5, let me make you aware of some news which broke just after 5 o'clock this evening. The main swimming pool at the National Sports Centre in Douglas has been declared fully operational by the Department of Education, Sport and Culture. The boom, which is used to divide the fixed depth floor from the movable floating pool floor, wasn't able to be lowered since the opening of the facility in August. That was due to a fault with the control mechanisms. However, engineers from the installation company came over here to the Isle of Man from Holland on Wednesday and worked through the night on Thursday to undertake the repairs and necessary testing. The leisure pool and the flume rides, they will remain closed off to the public following problems encountered with the flume stairway installation. The DESC says discussions with the manufacturer and installer in order to resolve this matter are ongoing. But news that the main swimming pool at the NSC has been declared fully operational. We start this evening looking at the weekend's fixtures with hockey, and still fresh, really, fresh in the memory, an historic victory, a famous win for Castletown Celts over a team who did lead the way in the Rossborough Mixed Premier League Vikings. What a win last week for them. But we are focusing on their opponents who lost last week in our feature game for the Rossborough Mixed Premier League in this evening's preview, because, as always, this one does take centre stage whenever these two teams come together. Bacchus A against Vikings a huge one in deciding where the league title will go. Sam Spooner, Manx Radio's hockey correspondent, joins me in the studio live now. Good evening, Sam. Set the stage for, set the scene for a huge match this weekend.
Well, this could probably go one of two ways. Either Vikings are going to get a drubbing, because let's face it, Bacchus A are in some real fine goal scoring form, and they are terrifying going forward. Vikings A, obviously, they've struggled in front of goal. Defensively, if Vikings are on top form, Bacchus may struggle a little bit to break them down. And Vikings are, you know, they can score goals. They just have to find a way to where they were last year, where they were scoring, free scoring again. It's going to be a real tight and spicy game, I think, if truth be told. And I do expect Bacchus A to win, but Vikings A have to respond after last week, and this is the week that they can do that.
You said in the classified programme on Saturday last week that Vikings A, the senior players in that dressing room, will know exactly what went wrong for them to lose that match to the bottom side, Celts. You would expect a response, a positive response, if you were of a Vikings persuasion this weekend, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and I think they're expecting themselves a positive response as well. From what they were doing in training on Tuesday, they knew what went wrong. I'm not going to mention what they've been working on air. Obviously, you know, secrets, and don't want to be accused of passing anything on. But they know what went wrong. They've been working hard to get over it and try and fix the problem. They've all probably been talking to each other as well about how to fix it going forward, practicing short corner routines, making sure they've got those nailed down and can actually use the short corners that they win, which they haven't been too good at this year. Backers, on the other hand, tend to use every opportunity they've got, and you wouldn't bet your house against them scoring.
21 goals in their last three games, three wins from three since an opening day draw with Ramsey. As we have said on previous occasions, they were significantly weakened in that match. Given that form, and given the form of Vikings, especially with the defeat last week, Bacchus do start this one as favourites.
Oh, absolutely. But as we've seen, like last week, surprises happen. And if there's one team capable of springing a surprise against Bacchus this season, the only team that could probably do that is Vikings A. Everybody has Bacchus A nailed on as favourites, and maybe could you see some complacency slipping in? Personally, no, I can't. That Bacchus A team are incredibly professional, strong throughout, but Vikings A have a real good opportunity this week to bounce straight back from last week's defeat and earn themselves that top place back today, next tomorrow.
How interesting would it be, though, if Vikings A were to get maximum points from this match? It would mean they go back to the summit of the table. These two teams will have to meet once again later on in the season. And again, it makes it a really thrilling league to be a part of and to just keep tabs on for those listening at home, members of the Manx hockey community listening in. It makes it really, really entertaining, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And look at the battles that they had last year. They played each other three times. twice in the league, once in the cup. The cup game, Vikings won. The first game that they met was a Vikings win. The second game was a Backers win. But every game was ridiculously close, and it was some of the finest hockey ever displayed in club level on the Isle of Man. It was fantastic hockey to watch, and there were some really good big crowds down watching them as well, just to appreciate the battles that were going on the field.
One of the toils, really, of this job is you do make predictions and sometimes they backfire. We both thought that Vikings A, as I think the rest of the people listening to this, thought that Vikings A would win last week. They didn't. I thought that it might click for them because we've been saying they've been winning games, but not by the margins that a lot of people would have predicted. How do they go about approaching this match against Backers A tomorrow then? Because we know that Backers A are free scoring. You've said they're favourites, but you'd be a fool to write Vikings A off knowing the talent they've got in their dressing room.
Yeah, and I think the way Vikings have to approach it is the same as they would any every other game, but just stay calm. You can see in the final third of the pitch when they do get there, there's sometimes a bit of desperation to just score as much as they possibly can, and it seems to be playing on their mind a little bit when they get there, that they're not getting the shots that they would normally get in the corners of the goals or on target. You know, they're making it slightly easier for the goalkeeper to maybe make the save that they need to make. And I would say Jay Patel had a superb game against Vikings A last week, it has to be said. But yeah, they just need to take it easy in front of goal and take their chances. That's the most important thing, because they did earn themselves a lot of chances in the games I've seen them play this season. They just haven't been able to finish them.
Backers A against Vikings A in the Rossborough Mixed Premier League. The other matches in the top flight, which we will be previewing tomorrow from 12:30. Castletown Celts, who got that famous win last week against Ramsey A. A battle at the bottom there. They're level on 2 points apiece. Ramsey A have better goal difference. Valkyries A against Vikings B. We were speaking about Backers A just then. Free scoring. Not as free scoring, though, as Saracens Sabres. Backers A with 21 goals in their last three games. Saracens Sabres with 30 in their last two. And they come up against another side who are vying for promotion back to the top flight, Backers B.
Yeah, this one's a big, big game. It kind of decides whether Saracens go 3 points ahead or Backers take the top of the league at the halfway stage, pretty much. And in all fairness, I think Saracens are going to win this game, given the talent that they've got. And again, they're a terrifying team to face. They just seem to score goals so freely and attack so well. And they are a team where there's goals throughout as well. Even though they've scored 30 goals in those in the past two games, they haven't been overly reliant on their talisman, George Powell. You've had other people scoring hat-tricks. You had Scott Mason weighing in with goals, Andrew Wynne-Stanley, Sophie Howland with a hat-trick last week. You know, their whole team has scored goals, which is what's going to be really difficult for Backers B to stop tomorrow. Backers B, up until last week, they haven't had any huge wins, and actually they had a draw 2 weeks ago against Valkyries B, which is the reason they were a point behind now. But last week they did score 9, showed some real goal scoring form. Tony Bentley Roberts leading the way for them there, and I think this game could be really, really tight. Backers B have really hit some form right on time this season.
Ellie Pearson getting among the goals as well. Can you see Saracen Sabres being thwarted here, given the fact they are sharing the goals around the team? They clearly know where the back of the net is. They're playing some fantastic hockey. And Backers B, all right, they've got some strong players there, but it just seems you can't pick a fault in that Sabres starting lineup.
You can't, but after last week, I don't know what to say anymore, because the amount of text messages I got, you know, from Castletown players, like jovial atmosphere again, but, you know, proving me wrong. And people love to prove me wrong, and I think Backers B, Saracen Sabres are the nailed-on favourites, given the amount of goals they've scored, given their position in the table, given the amount of goals they've conceded. They've only conceded one this season, but if there's one team in this league that can stop him, it's Backers B, and I'm sure they're going to be going out there with all the will in the world to prove me wrong again.
Well, as you say, after last week, it wouldn't be amazed if anything happened. We will be previewing all of the weekend's hockey fixtures in Saturday Sport Preview tomorrow. But for now, Sam Spooner, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Friday Sport. Let's focus on rugby now then and see if we can join Dave Christian, who I believe is live at the Murrick Park ahead of a Manx Plate game this evening, a 7 o'clock kickoff between Ramsey B and Vagabonds B. Are you there, Dave? Well, I think there's your answer. No, he's not. So we'll see if we can get Dave, get in contact with Dave, who is at the Murrick. I have spoken to him earlier, but let's focus on football then. And before we go into the weekend's fixtures, some big news coming out of Manx football this week. Reaching a professional league in 10 to 12 years is the aim of FC Isle of Man. That's following a significant vote by Manx clubs this week. Local teams have given the proposals their support, meaning plans to become affiliated with the Isle of Man Football Association can move to the next stage. FC Isle of Man would enter the North West Counties League, which has seen champions recently, such as Fleetwood Town, FC United of Manchester and AFC Fylde. We know how Fleetwood are doing. That's in the last 15 years those teams have been crowned champions in the North West Counties League. Well, Paul Jones from FC IOM says it's not just about creating opportunities for footballers.
The FA have agreed to support our affiliation for next year. So it's not that we are now affiliated to the Isle of Man FA. That will happen in time, and there's some things that need to happen with regards to rule revisions and various other bits and pieces to enable us to affiliate next season. So I know someone from the FA will come on to me if I don't correct that. But there was numerous concerns really around where were the players will be coming from. Will that leave the local game with fewer players? How will FC Isle of Man work with the Isle of Man FA, or will it be detrimental to the Isle of Man FA? And we've spent a long time now since July going around talking to the Isle of Man FA board, talking to the council members, talking to the local clubs, trying to give everybody as much opportunity to ask questions as possible, and we don't have answers to all of the questions. And part of our efforts was to reassure people that we're trying to do things with good intentions, and that we would like to work with the clubs in the future to find answers to the questions rather than us proposing what was going to happen.
Well, can you take us through some of the next steps then until the club can officially enter the English non-league structure?
Yeah, sure. So 12 months ago when this was floated, the gaining affiliation to the Isle of Man FA was always seen as the hardest part. People didn't think that the door would be open for conversation, let alone having the vote. So we feel this is a fairly big hurdle that we've overcome. We're already talking to the league that would apply for our application to the English FA, which is the North West Counties League. We have to reassure them that we have a business plan, we have a ground we can play at, we have the ground that is graded at the right level. There's various other bits of pieces that we need to reassure them on. They then make an application on our behalf to the English FA by the end of or beginning of January. And then by the end of March, we should find out whether the club is allowed to play in the league structure next season. And if so, we start in what's called Step 6, which is 10 leagues below the Premier League.
Well, judging by the reactions so far on social media, there's been a lot of positivity surrounding FC Isle of Man.
Yep.
What are your long and short-term goals ultimately?
Yeah, so the guys who are involved in this project with me, we love being on the island, and we're trying to find a way to give back to the island, and we know football, so football is our way, I guess, of giving back. So we're trying to create as many new opportunities for Manx residents as we can, whether that's playing, whether that's journalistic, whether that's art, design, media, whatever it might be. So in the long term, it's creating those opportunities, and we can do that best by being in the highest league we possibly can. And ideally, that is a professional league within 10 years to 12 years. In the short term, it's about getting there and making sure that the football club is a sustainable business that isn't going anywhere for decades. So everything we've done is with that in mind, really. So we're trying to build a business structure and a business plan around the club being about for the next 10 to 20 years, but also able to provide amazing opportunities for residents and to get people over here as visitors and maybe even moving here, because this will be another added benefit that Jersey and Guernsey already have and we don't.
Now, that was Paul Jones from FC Isle of Man there. In the studio live with me this evening is Manx Radio's football correspondent, also president of the Isle of Man Football Association, Tony Meppham. Good evening, Tony.
Evening, Chukas.
What was your reaction when the results of that vote came in earlier this week?
It wasn't really a surprise. I've spoken to you off air as well, Chris, and you know, I just thought to myself that, you know, this is a good changing point. It does give the opportunity of the Ireland's better players to, because it's basically going to be Ireland players that are going to fill the slot, I would think, anyway, not putting words in Paul's mouth, but it's a good opportunity for them to, you know, go away, play better opposition. It might take a couple of years to really sort of match in with teams because, you know, when you look at Guernsey went right the way through, what was it, 2-3 times promotion. Jersey Bulls, I don't think, have lost a game at the moment. So, you know, it's a really good opportunity. A lot of hard work and congratulations to Paul and the team who have sort of done everything right. They've gone about it the right way. Everybody had the information, and even at council meeting on Tuesday where the decision was made, you know, there's a lot of clubs just wanted the final sort of information to make that decision. And, you know, 25-1 is pretty convincing. And, you know, well done to them. And now they are allowed now to march on and see if they can make things happen for them. But I think it's good news for Manx football.
So it's overwhelming backing from the member clubs of the Isle of Man Football Association. That's for the affiliation to start next season. How much of a say, or how much influence does the Isle of Man Football Association have on this new club, or are they completely separate entities?
Totally separate entities, but I would hope that the Isle of Man public, supporting public, and also the Isle of Man Football Association, I know they will, because if we can help in any way financially, we can't, because, you know, every sort of penny that we've got or any money we can sort of muster up is going to be spent on getting the Ireland men's team, women's team, under-18s and down the channel as well. So it's really good to see. And, you know, it's just one of those. It's the people have got to buy into it. One thing that's always sort of disappointed me is, you know, when we have Ireland games, and since Paul's been in post, he's had some terrific opposition for us on the island. And we never really sort of, I think, showed our faith in the players, because there's a good team. It's a changing team because, you know, before it was a lot of the Sir George's players, and, you know, people sort of didn't buy into it because a little bit envious of what Sir George's were doing in the, you know, in the league over here on the Isle of Man. But sort of now, there's five teams, I think, supplying Ireland players, which is great to see. It's open now. And I would hope that people will go and support them when it starts, because it's not going to affect the programme for us on a Saturday afternoon, because they'll still go ahead. And then the players who are picked to play for FC Isle of Man, home or away, certainly at home, will play at 5:30. And I think it's a great time to go and watch a game of football. But as we saw recently in the Interleague, you know, the support wasn't really there for them, what, 250, 300 people. We want a bit more than that for our team. And I'm certain that FC Isle of Man want that sort of support to be better than we had a couple of weeks ago.
Many people will view the vote 25-1 backing this move, that it shows Manx football has aspirations to compete at a higher level. And Paul Jones, if you heard him in the clip just then, they start 10 leagues below the Premier League. They want to reach a professional league in 12 years. That shows that the ambition is there as well. You know Manx football inside out, Tony. Do we have the players to take us from 10 leagues below the Premier League to a professional league in 12 years' time?
I wouldn't like to say that I know it inside out, but I've got a massive interest in it. If I had to be honest, 3 years ago, I thought to myself, right, OK, I can see the present Ireland side coming to the end of its run age-wise, not ability, because some of those players are 35 and are still as good as anything on the Isle of Man. But it's the younger players that I've seen come in, and I just think to myself, you know what? I think there's some special players coming through here. I'm not saying that's why Paul's pushing it, because, you know, Paul's always been ambitious. He's been arguably one of the best Ireland managers that we've had. I've got to be careful here because my good friend Steve Byrne's managed him. But I think it's just been absolutely brilliant to see that Paul has left the door open for anybody, whatever age. And it's great to see. So I think it's a good time to do it. You know, it's going to be a lot of hard work. Paul knows that, but he's got a good group around him. And hopefully they can reach that ambition in 12 years' time, be playing in the Premier League. It'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Oh, well, I can tell you it won't be through a lack of effort. They are giving everything to that. That's FC Isle of Man, the news there, that they will be affiliated to the Isle of Man Football Association from next season. But let's talk about the domestic fixtures which take place this weekend, Tony, in the Canada Live Premier League. Laxey with 4 wins from 4, a flawless start to their Premier League campaign. Tomorrow, they host a Russian side, also unbeaten. All set up for a humdinger, really, isn't it?
Well, it should be. And the way I look at it is that, you know, a few people are saying, well, Laxey haven't really played anyone who you'd expect, you know, to sort of really push it on against one of the top sides. And I think it's the way they've done it. Some of the games that they've had, and I've watched one, they've been absolutely brilliant, scoring plenty of goals. And certainly against Russian, I was pleasantly surprised last week. And I think Russian have got a really good outfit there. They worked hard against Peel. They never gave up, which is good to see. And it just shows that, you know, they lost one or two really good players at the start of this season. And they have just been able to sort of cover over that problem and move players around. It looks really good. It's a big test for Laxey, but, you know, Laxey are up for it. The young lads know no fear. They're good players, and it's a learning curve for them, as well with their Russian, more experienced team. And with sort of Jamie Johnson in great form up front, then I would say that it's going to be a right old battle. And I just wonder if Laxey can continue this great run that they're in at the moment. I think it's going to be tough for them, and that's why I'm just looking at Russian to win it.
And you're going to a double header tomorrow, Douglas Athletic against Maroun and Paul Rose against Old Boys. The two games you're hoping to take in for Manx Radio Sport this weekend.
Yeah, it is. And I've seen Old Boys, but I haven't seen Paul Rose. And Douglas Athletic against Maroun, it'd just be interesting to see where we are with those, because there's four sides there that really need points to be able to sort of stay into this league, because they're coming against the teams that they need to take the points away. As we saw last week with Russian and Peel, points shared was nothing really for both of them. They wanted the maximum points. And Old Boys, I think, have turned that corner a little bit. They've got a stronger team. Paul Rose been struggling for players, as we know. But hopefully with people like Nigel Moody and also Owen Canepa there, they can get the goals to mix it. As were with Douglas Athletic, great training session on Tuesday, good numbers, playing against Maroun in all sorts of difficulties at the moment, scoring goals, and it looks a bit of a struggle for them. And it'll be interesting to see where that one goes. But on current form, you have to go for Athletic, I think.
Well, we will be previewing, as we say, all the fixtures from 12:30 tomorrow. But for now, Tony, thank you very much. And I believe, fingers crossed, everything's crossed, touching wood as well, that we do now have contact with Dave Christian, who is at the Murrock Park ahead of a 7 o'clock kickoff in the Manx Plate this evening between Ramsey B and Vagabonds B. Have I tempted fate? Are you there, Dave?
I certainly am, Chris. I certainly am. And I can only apologise to our listener tonight for the poor sound quality, because some clown forgot to charge his iPhone, and we're left with more rudimentary telecommunications. But hey-ho, that's the nature of the beast sometimes.
Ramsey B against Vaggers B, though, Dave, in the Manx Plate. Who are you tipping to succeed in this one?
Well, you've got to fancy Vagabonds, to be honest. They won down here 48-12 in the Manx Shield. It was tight at half-time, 7-7. This was earlier on in September. And Vagabonds just pulled away in the second half, and Ramsey just couldn't catch them. Today might be a different kettle of fish, of course, but I suspect not. Ramsey, you've got a full first-team match tomorrow against Douglas Celts, so there's no spare players really left over, and there may be even one or two doubling up on the bench, so they'll be playing tonight and on the bench tomorrow. But I think Vagabonds got the form with them. They did well in the first few games in the Manx Shield, and then took a bit of a big reversal against Southern Nomads up there at Bala Fletcher. But to be fair to the Vagabonds, everybody in the Manx Shield normally gets a big reversal at Southern Nomads, so there's no sort of embarrassment at that. I think Vagabonds will just be a little bit too strong for Ramsey tonight, but you never know, on the home turf, under floodlights, bit of a novelty, Ramsey might just up their game a little bit, but on paper at least it's got to be a Vagabonds win.
One side who are not on home soil this weekend are Douglas. They're on their travels on the way to Penrith. A 1:30 kickoff tomorrow in North 1 West. Douglas, well, they'll be looking, really, wouldn't they, to get maximum points from this one?
Well, Penrith are second. They've only lost once in five. Douglas have lost twice in five. But I don't think that's really indicative of anything too much. I was looking at a couple of the results of teams that both of them have played. Penrith beat Stockport at Penrith just by 2 points. Douglas beat them by 31 last week. So suggests Douglas might be into a little bit of form now. Bryn Snellgrove back into the team and he can unlock most defences. He's got a decent pack of forwards in front of him. The new look front row with Ben Klaus and Harry Raven and Mike Dunnett. I think they're capable of holding their own against anybody. And I think Douglas can go to Penrith with a little bit of confidence. And if they can steal 4 points or maybe even five, it'll be a tremendous boost for them. On paper, though, Penrith are second in the table. You've got to fancy them for a home win. You generally go with a home win in a league match, but I think Douglas might just upset the apple cart a bit tomorrow.
In women's NC North West 1, Vagabonds host Sale 1861 at Bala Fletcher tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, the return of Catherine Crane. She scored in every game for Vagabonds last season and then jumped ship in the closed season, moved over to Manchester to have a go at taking women's rugby really seriously with Sale. They're a new team, so they've got to come into the league at an entry level. They've played 1-1-1, but Vagabonds have played 1-1-1 as well. And notably for Vagabonds, their win has come against the current league leaders, Lee, and it was away from home too. This is going to be the girls' first run at home. Corinna Daly in charge. She's the captain on the field. She'll lead from the front at number 8. But perhaps the player to watch out for this season, Isla Kerfey. She started playing just after Christmas last year. Looks to be a tremendous prospect for the future. And I suspect we're going to see her name on the score sheet very often this season. Difficult to say which way it'll go. Sale are taking the whole thing very, very seriously. But not to say that Vagabonds aren't. But you just fancy that Vagabonds might just be able to nick it at home. But we'll be there to cover that one for Saturday Live with a kickoff at 1 o'clock tomorrow at Bala Fletcher.
And there, as you said, with the return of the Try Machine, which is Catherine Crane, money on her crossing the line tomorrow. I think plenty will be going on. Dave Christian, thank you very much for this evening. We'll be covering all the fixtures tomorrow from 12:30 in the rugby, the football and the hockey. There's also Manx Cup action, Douglas Celts against Ramsey at Portishead, 2:15 kickoff, and the Manx Plate final, Western Vikings against Emerging Nomads. But that is it for Friday Sport this evening. Just a reminder, we are on from 6 o'clock until 6:30 with the new schedule next week. But the news at 6 o'clock is next.